When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next installment in our Oscars series here on The Cinephiles. I am John Roca, joined as always by my partner, Steve Morris.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Very good. And today, we are going to be exploring the Best Picture nominee, Emilia Perez, from French director Jacques Audiard, starring Zoe Saldana, who's been nominated for her performance, Carla Sofia Gascon, who's been nominated for her performance as well, Selena Gomez, Adriana Paz, Edgar Ramirez, Eduardo Aladro, and assorted other phenomenal actors here in this movie. Of course, there's a lot of controversy around this movie, and we will get into our feelings on that and more in this discussion. But we want to remind you all that we are doing this, for those of you who may be catching up on this for the first time, as we, in an effort to lead towards our first annual Cinephile Awards show, Steve, that is happening on March 1st.
That's right. We decided we don't want to leave it up just to the Academy to say what are the best performances, best songs, best movies, best screenplays. We feel that the most qualified people to make these decisions are, in fact, the cinephiles.
Yeah.
And so every single person listening right now can vote in the very first annual Cinephiles Awards by going to patreon.com/thecinephiles. And it doesn't cost you a dime. You can just join the free tier. That will give you access to the ballot and you can fill out that form. Of course, if you want to do one of the paid tiers to get our Cinephiles shorts or ad-free versions of the show or join our advisory board, you can totally do that. Yeah. But just to vote, it costs you nothing. And not only that, but we've added a write-in category. So if you don't like the nominees, you can pick your own. And maybe we'll have a write-in winner. People have definitely been writing in some of their choices so far in the voting. And we've also added a Best Biggest Snub Award, which is any category which you can vote for. And I'm very curious to see who the Cinephiles feels has been left out of the Oscars.
All right, but let's get into this movie here, Steve. Emilia Perez follows three remarkable women in Mexico, each pursuing their own happiness. Cartel leader Emilia enlists unappreciated lawyer Rita to help fake her death so that she can finally live authentically as her true self and find her way back to her wife, Jessie, played by Selena Gomez here. So, man, this is a musical directed by a French director. There is only one person of Mexican descent in this film, even though the film is set in Mexico. It was shot in France, and there's been quite a lot of controversy around this movie because of that situation. The LGBTQ+ representation here, the trans representation, has been the subject of GLAAD pushing back on this movie and not nominating it for any of its awards this past award season, which is really surprising. So, what are your thoughts, though? Remove from all of that. What were your thoughts about the movie? Do you like the movie? Do you not like the movie? Do you think it deserves its Best Picture nomination? What are your thoughts?
So first of all, I'm really glad that I actually knew nothing about the movie when I started it. I didn't even know what it was about. I didn't even know it was a musical. I knew it was a nomination. I knew we were going to have to cover it. It popped up on Netflix, and I just hit play. And I had just been to Mexico City. And so there were things in it. I was like, oh, this is Mexico City, which of course it isn't. But here's my general experience watching it as it went on. I loved the opening. And when I saw the way they were staging the musical numbers, which I think is super inventive and interesting, I was like, oh, this is new. This is a new way to approach it.
Right.
Then we get into the plot, which is this. And the basic plot is there is a scary cartel, violent criminal drug, kingpin who wants to escape and be turned into a woman, transition into a woman and lead a different life. And I was like, wow, that is a crazy plot, but very interesting and brought me into conflicts. In particular, I love Zoe Saldana in the movie. I think she steals the show. I think she's fantastic. I love her character. As the movie went on, it got less interesting to me.
Mm.
Like, that was sort of my experience, is that these very unusual conflicts that we had set up and the very interesting staging of the musical numbers and some of the interesting music that I really enjoyed in Act 1 and liked the conflicts as they established in Act 2. By the time we got to Act 3, I was sort of, I'm not sure what this movie is. And I was far less moved and less involved in the final act than I was in the beginning. That was sort of my experience watching the film before hearing anything about controversy or anything like that. That was my experience. Yeah. How about you?
I have to say, I went into the film and I enjoyed it the first time I saw it because I liked that it was a film that took some crazy chances and tested you as a film goer. I'm at a place now where, you know, I've lived through quite a few decades of films. So I like new directors that come in and deliver interesting takes on movies and take chances, and they don't all have to work out, but just that they took chances at all, it gets me excited to see the overall end product. And we just talked about the Brutalist, and I thought Brady Corbett took some really fascinating gutsy chances with that film, and I think there are some really gutsy chances taken here by Jacques Audiard in the presentation. Now, when you watch it a second time, do those possibly racist lyrics pop up and frustrate you and seem simplistic and denigrate Mexico or denigrate the Spanish language? It's quite possible. Certainly, there were moments that made me uncomfortable watching it a second time around.
Those reactions the first time?
No, I did not, actually. Yeah. The first time I watched it, I was just like, okay, let's get to where we're going, right? Like, what is this leading to? Because I didn't want to judge it as it was happening. I wanted to judge it where it was taking me once I got there, right? And so for me, I didn't find as much to be irritated about with the movie the first time I watched it. And yes, some of the songs are a little talky and just kind of what woman to man to woman, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I also liked Across the Universe, and there are elements of that in Across the Universe. Hamilton has elements of that in terms of the speech, talking, rapping type of thing. So to me, this was something that I was fascinated by. And Zoe Saldana delivers one hell of a performance.
Yeah.
And I just finished watching the second season of Lioness before I watched this. So I was really in a big frame of mind to appreciate Zoe Saldana as an actress. But like you know, when the film wraps up and where it's going, I found myself angry and frustrated with the main character with Emilia, because I did not like what she was doing and the arrogance of her to want to do this thing that she does after she becomes a woman, and what she essentially wants to remove her blame from by kissing her own ass and helping other people do something. I thought that was a frustrating turn in the movie for
me. That's
how
I felt too.
Yeah. And they were trying to make her a hero, and I'm like, there's nothing heroic about what she's doing. Everything she's done is selfish from moment one to the end. Everything. And so to me, this is where I found myself looking at this person, and she's a narcissist in one of the worst ways possible. Just reading this recently, an article, Steve, about this professor in, I think, New Mexico, Ohio State University, breaking down the three types of narcissists. And I'd never known that there were separate types.
Yes, there are.
Yes. And so reading about this, that there's the narcissist who is essentially the person who wants to get their butt kissed and be front-facing and everyone has to do what they say and is consistently threatened by anyone who is trying to take their plot of land, so to speak, and their status. Then there's the narcissist who goes out of their way to help other people because they want to have their butt kissed, and they get involved in people's lives even though they're not asked to be part of people's lives. And they get involved in people's families, people's friendships. They take on other people's relationships with their family and friends and make it their own and make it seem as if they're indispensable to the functionality of those relationships. And they want that status of being looked to, saving people, helping people, because they like the feeling of getting their own ass kissed and feeling good. It's not about helping people. It's not altruistic. It's more a matter of, oh, I'm getting satisfied because they're telling me I'm a good person. So there's a narcissism in that. And that's what I felt Emilia Perez fell into, that kind of narcissist. And so watching the film the second time through that prism, I think made it even more frustrating and made the other stuff stand out to the point where I didn't like the movie the second time I watched it.
It's funny. We just talked about The Brutalist and where I said, like, look, I'm going to have to reckon with this movie and I'm going to probably watch it again. And I'm thinking about it and I'm not 100% sure of what it's saying.
Yeah.
Because it's not saying it clearly. That's its point. That's, again, not a criticism. In this movie, I also am not 100% sure what it's saying.
Yeah.
But this is a criticism. This is a different thing because I think where it's sort of like, and again, now then learning more about the director that he said, I didn't really learn much about Mexico.
Right.
And it doesn't sound like he learned that much about trans people or what this experience is really like. Because the movie, to be clear, and again, trying not to spoil the end of it, but like this is a horrible, evil person that we meet at the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
They are terrifying and scary and violent and nasty. Yes. And then the movie is trying to tell me that by becoming a woman, this is now not an evil, nasty person.
Right.
And it's like, no, first of all, you don't get, even if they have changed, you don't get credit from me. You have to prove it. Like you, like, and the fact that Zoe Saldana's character comes to love this person.
Yeah.
I just go like, really? Like, come on. And then I go to like, well, what are you saying? Are you saying that it was the masculinity in this person? And once they got rid of the masculinity, they got rid of the evil. Is that the point you're trying to make? That femininity is, and it's like, that seems a bit strange.
Yeah.
And then I feel exactly what you feel, which is like this, why is this all about this character? It's all about them.
Yeah.
And I don't really like that. I do like you're with the woman you love, but she doesn't know that it's you and that you're now a woman and you're talking to her about other people, other men. And that's very complicated and interesting. And I've never seen that in a movie. That's interesting. But these larger things, I kind of went, again, I'm going, I don't get what your point is. I don't. Yeah. And this is where I do genuinely criticize the filmmaker for if you're going to make a movie about drug cartels in Mexico. Yeah. About trans people in Mexico, like you should spend some fucking time in Mexico with trans people and with, DAs and policemen and like try to learn how this stuff really works because that's where, and I understand it's a musical. I don't care. Like that's where it's like, there's so much talent in this movie.
Yeah.
Like particularly again, back to the way the opening musical number was staged where she's like walking through, a market, mercado, which I walked through these places that are all over Mexico City and seeing that them just join into this musical number. I thought it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of genius going on in the movie, but there's a certain point where I kind of fell out of it. And by the end of the movie, the way it ends, I was like, really going like, what was the point? Like, why did you want to tell me this story? You know?
Yeah. And I agree with you, seeing it the second time, a lot of the issues with the film came screaming to my mind as I was watching it. And the uniqueness of it wears off the second time you watch it. And I think that's also something that is a strike against the film. And I think the issue with the main character is that the main character never fully owns up.
Yeah.
And that is where the thing doesn't change. And I agree with you, the implication that it was the masculinity as if there aren't numerous examples of women or femininity being the cause of a crime or a terrible murder or whatever is ridiculous. And so I thought that was where the film kind of lost me as well, watching it a second time. Zoe's performance still stands out. I think both times I watched it, I was in awe of her and the timing and the choreography and the movements and what she's trying to do. She is committed to this role and she is the reason to watch the film. I think the second time you watch the film, the holes and the cracks in Carla Sofia Gascon's talent are evident when you watch it a second time. Like there are scenes and moments where she plays generalized emotion, not specificity. And it becomes a situation where you're not as caught up in what's happening. And you start to see the crack. And so you start to wonder, was this nomination legitimate or was this nomination a nomination because she would be the first trans woman ever? And I'm throwing that out there. I'm not saying it was. I'm not implying that it was. I'm just saying I had questions about it after watching it a second time. And of course, there were those tweets. And we should say, we are going to record a separate short about the controversies surrounding her tweets and the other controversies of the campaign season. We're going to have a conversation about that in a short that we will do separately. Right, Steve?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about it, and obviously it's an important issue, but it's not really an issue about the film.
Right.
And the fact is, it's a really big issue. Yeah. These ideas of, you know, what do we do when we are deeply offended by something somebody says or does? Yeah. And I think we both said, let's really give that conversation the time that it deserves and not take up the time talking about this film with that.
John, did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? I mean, it's not just about your birthday. Your body could be a little bit older, could be a little bit younger than what you think. And that's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True Age test, you can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part, it's all done from the comfort of your home. No prescriptions, no lab visits. It's just a simple test sent right to your door.
Yeah, Steve, that's why I was so excited when True Diagnostics said they wanted to come on and sponsor us here on The Cinephiles. You know, you and me both talk about our health, and certainly people listening to us, they're very aware of their health as they get a little bit older, and you want to kind of stop things from coming or be more aware of what might be coming. And True Diagnostic has a thing called True Age Test. And in that True Age Test, you can find out so much about the age of your body, which helps you. So I was very excited when I got my True Age Test recently from True Diagnostic.
And the cool part is, this is not guesswork. The True Age Test is based on peer-reviewed research from scientists working at Harvard, Duke, and Yale. I mean, this is real science that you can trust. So think about what it would be like to know exactly how your lifestyle is impacting your body. True Diagnostic makes it easy to get started, offering simple, actionable insights that you can use right away. This is your chance to take control of your health and get the bigger picture. Don't leave it to chance. True Diagnostic helps you understand not just where you're at now, but where you're headed.
All great points, Steve. All right, Cinephiles fans, are you ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at TrueDiagnostic.com by using the code CINEPHILES at checkout. That's TrueDiagnostic, TrueDiagnostic.com. Just use the code CINEPHILES to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What did you think of the direction here? Or do you want to say more about any of the other performances, I guess, before we leave the acting section of our conversation? Anything you want to say about Carla? Anything you want to say about Edgar Ramirez or the other, or Selena or the other actors that were a part of this?
I think your points about Carla Sofia Gascon are well taken, which is the movie's kind of telling me stuff about her character.
Yeah.
Rather than, and part of it is I blame the script. I was thinking about, like, I wish she had. So there's the moment where she meets someone who's maybe she's responsible in her previous life for the death.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be the transformative, redemptive moment.
Right.
But it doesn't succeed for me.
Yeah.
And so that is that I don't just blame the actor for this. The whole setup, the way it's done is like you needed to do. This is a really bad person.
Yeah.
You need to do so much more to move towards redemption for them or change in their character. That was the first thing. Obviously I agree with everything you said about Zoe Saldana. I think Selena Gomez is good.
Yeah.
I think she does very well. I don't have any response to how her Mexican accent is. I'm told that it's not good, but of course, how would I know? But she's not supposed to have that good an accent. None of the other actors particularly stood out to me, frankly. Okay. They were good. They didn't stand out in a bad way, but they just didn't. Nobody stood out in a great way for me.
I would agree with that 100%. I mean, Edgar, I've seen Edgar do better in other things. I thought Selena was good in the film for the character that she's playing, which is this American-raised woman who is the wife of the cartel leader and her reactions to all this stuff. And people came after her for a Spanish accent, and I was like, she's not supposed to be speaking fluent Spanish.
She's American.
She's American. Like, raised in And you'd be surprised how many people who are of immigrant parents, even who are raised in this country, don't speak Spanish fluently for their own reasons. And, you know,
if you had to, if you were cast in something where you had to be in Bolivia speaking Spanish,
yeah,
would people say that you did it perfectly like a Bolivian?
No, I think you could absolutely, because I don't speak Spanish all the time anymore, because I only speak Spanish with my mom.
And you didn't grow up in Bolivia.
Yeah, and I didn't grow up in Bolivia, so I wouldn't know the regional accents. And my father spent 17 years in Argentina, so the Spanish and the rhythm he taught me might be more Argentinian than Bolivian, even though I am of Bolivian blood, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. That to me, that one to me is just a ridiculous objection.
Yeah.
Like, I also think, by the way, I think that the objections about the director not spending time in Mexico or understanding or knowing the Mexican people are much more valid. Although I do also think, look, American movies have been doing this for other cultures for over a hundred years being totally disrespectful of everywhere we go. And we didn't disqualify a million movies from Best Pictures for doing exactly what this director did. That being said, I think that people should actually learn about the places that they're making movies about. That just seems logical to
Canada
me.
Canada surprisingly looks like New York. Canada's
shocking.
Shocking. Yeah. Well, what about the direction here? I mean, we speak about the situation with him, whether he engrossed himself in Mexico City or engrossed himself in the trans community to deliver a faithful film. What do you think about his direction, though, overall here, how he stages these musical sequences, how he stages the scenes in the film throughout, going from intimate moments to the more grander stuff. Do you like Jacques Audiard's direction? Do you think it was worthy of an Academy Award nomination?
So in terms of staging musical numbers, particularly in the first act, I think he's brilliant. I think he did an incredible job. In terms of the movie as a whole, I have problems with it, both in terms of the story structure. And how it all comes together, because it didn't have an emotional wallop by the end. I was less involved in the last act of the film than I was in the first act of the film. I also think, and this is just a general note, is that I think camera was almost always too close. It was very claustrophobic in the way that was filmed. Yeah. We were frequently in, and this would be, anyone could lodge this criticism of me as a director, because as an editor, I tend to shoot in coverage and then cut, rather than shoot in masters and have things play out, because I'm not as good at, I've made very few fantastic looking master shots, but I did feel that we were just in close up a lot, or in overs, or in two shots a lot, and didn't have a sense of the space. And part of that, I think, is because it wasn't shot on any real locations in Mexico. Yeah. Like, it had the feeling of I'm on sets, you know, and that's definitely a choice that I feel took away from the sense of time and place and location that I could have really used.
Yeah, I think, as you said, I think his direction in the first half of the film is fantastic. And if you're an up-and-coming director, I think you can take a lot of lessons from what Jacques Audiard does as a director in the first half of the movie. But then the movie starts to feel, in a way, abrasive. And with some of the angles and some of the shots and the way he's presenting this, the conflicts that are arising as the film goes along, that work to undercut rather than engross you in the film. And I think that's an issue with his direction in the second half of the movie. And it's an interesting decision he makes to start to move everything much more closer and make you feel a certain way. I get what he's trying to do, but I don't think it's done in a way that makes you feel more connected to the characters. It actually makes you want to pull away from them, which is not what you want the audience to be feeling as the film reaches its climax, as you said. What about the score, the songs? Any of those songs stand out? Anything, any of the choreography within the song stand out for you? Do you have a favorite musical number that happens in the movie?
I'm just going to keep saying the opening musical number in the Mercado is definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
And there was one that was the, you know, You Smell Like My Papa, that I found emotionally powerful. I don't know that I found it to be a great song. One of the songs that was with the when you're looking for the surgeon again in the first act.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was an interesting song too. And I think the songs got less good as we went along in the musical. And none of the ones in the second half really stood out. And they were more of the, I kind of see what you're talking about in terms of the singing, talking sort of thing, they ceased to be like a number, a big musical number, and became more like I'm singing some of my feelings, you know? So I really like the first act of the film. I think that's where we're boiling things down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like the number that Zoe does at the presentation. That I love that number. I love the way it's directed. I love the way it's set. I love the way she commands that room, that massive ballroom, to do what she does. So that's my favorite number.
Yeah, that's a good one. You're right. One was really good.
But the market one is great. That's like my second favorite. So you're right. So they clearly knew they had to hook you into the film, and they wanted to put a really good number at the beginning of the movie. So you're absolutely right on choosing that one. So those two are the ones that stand out to me the most. Anything more to say on the film? Any more to comment on the writing or the cinematography or the production design here?
Let me make a general statement, which is just that I have criticisms of the film. I'm totally glad this film exists,
mm-hmm,
because it is a kind of musical that we've never seen before,
sure,
a storyline that we've never seen before, either in a musical or in a non-musical. It takes us to a world that is different, shown in a different way, and it's a challenging movie. I don't think it completely succeeds, so I wouldn't give it most of these awards. You know, like there's just the only one that I really can see giving it is Zoe Saldana.
Yeah,
and I haven't watched all the international feature films, so maybe it is the best picture there. But the fact that it's won, you know, 13 nominations as one of the most nominated movies of all time, putting it up with the great films, I just don't buy. It doesn't feel like that kind of a movie for me.
Yeah, look, I mean, I feel that people voted for this film initially. This is my belief, right? I'm not accusing anybody of anything. My belief is that people wanted to use this film to push back on the attacks that we've seen from certain sections of the world and political world at artists. And here's a film that is unabashedly artistic.
Yeah.
Unabashedly makes a trans woman their lead going through a trans change in the film. And it's a musical as well. And it's set in Mexico. So I think there was a lot of protest votes in favor of the movie. And it got 13 nominations, which is shocking. You know, Eddie Murphy used to have an old joke where, like, hillbilly white guys get drunk and go and vote for Jesse Jackson, and he actually wins being the president. And I think that's kind of a little bit of the element here. It's like, oh my God, wait, what? You know? And so it got 13 nominations, but I think it's one of the least deserving of films of 13 nominations ever in the history of the Academy. So it's a bit of an anomaly in that way. I think original song, it has two nominations for original song, so I wouldn't be surprised if it wins one of those. But I think there's not going to be anything else it wins except for Best Supporting Actress. And I do think the pushback from the tweets, which we will talk about separately, and the other controversy about the Mexican representation and also the trans representation, I think all of that is serving to sink the film. Because if you're trying to serve these two communities and those communities are both telling you that you did a terrible job with your movie because you didn't talk with us or spend time with us or explore things or really get into the nitty-gritty of this to present it more effectively on film, I think that works to sink your film when it comes to the final votes for awards. So,
yeah.
I mean, now. I mean, obviously, the tweets, it won awards before the tweets came out, but it hasn't won anything much since.
Yeah, I think your points about people nominating this for political reasons or reasons outside of the film. Mm. I, you know, in general, and maybe this is a preview of our shorts conversation that people can join us for on patreon.com/thecinephiles. I would like to keep things to the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, you know, like let's talk about the movie on its own. It relates to what we just talked about. We just did a short on Captain America, Brave New World. Mm. And that was one of the points we were talking about then is like, let's actually just focus on making the movie good. You know, that's what we really need to do. And let's talk about whether or not the movie is good and the other stuff isn't as important to me.
Everything else will take care of itself. All right. Well, there's our discussion on Emilia Perez here in our continuing series of exploring the 2025 Best Picture nominees. We've done a few of these already. So if you're just catching us for the first time talking about this movie, you can definitely go back and watch, or sorry, bog and listen to our conversations on some of the other nominees. And of course, from this nominee, we'll be doing more nominees going forward from this episode. So look for those to come out as well. And we've been doing a lot of shorts lately, so it's been a month that is chock full of stuff. If you haven't caught up on our Mad Max Fury Road three-part epic that we just did with our guest producer, Brendan McDonald from the WTF pod with Mark Maron, catch up on those. And of course, we're about to enter into the world of the Coen brothers, so look for that coming down the road from us as well. But Steve, we are heading towards a March 1st live Cinephiles, first ever Cinephiles Awards show. So how can people get involved in case they missed it at the opening of this particular episode?
Well, then we'll say one more time, patreon.com/thecinephiles. All you have to do is join the free tier. It doesn't cost you a penny. Of course, you always could join one of the other tiers if you wish. But to access the ballot and vote for our first award show, just go to patreon.com/thecinephiles.
All right. For my partner, Steve Morris, I'm John Rocha. And we'll talk to you next time with another brand new episode here of our Oscar series on The Cinephiles.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.